You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show. 10 long years of celebrities and the rest of us living messy lives with, hopefully, a real God in the middle of it all. In the middle of the pouring rain, the WC
Andy, won't you look down over me? Well, last weekend, folks, aired on a variety of networks was the Sandra Bullock hit The Blind Side, the story of the Tui family and how they came to adopt a young black kid who needed a break in life is basically the gist of it. This past Sunday, though, number 74 in the Baltimore Ravens, the kid who needed that break, won his first Super Bowl. And boy, I tell you, cheering probably more loudly than even Sandra Bullock would be this lady, Leanne Tui. The mother of a Super Bowl champion, and Sandra Bullock's stunt double, from what I hear. Leanne Tui, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Thank you for joining us. Are you in Memphis right now?
No, I'm not. I just got finished speaking in Tampa, Florida, and to a group of 7,000 or 8,000 of my intimate friends, and so I'm headed back in that direction to Memphis, but I've got a couple stops to make along the way, so I'm not there. I'm not there very often these days, but that's okay.
Okay, all right. Now, I just had a friend. Gee, I'm wondering if it wouldn't be the same event. Anyway, I'm friends with a lady named Candace Cameron Bure, who played DJ in Full House, and she just spoke at a big event, and I thought it was in Florida as well. She wasn't there, was she?
Well, I'm sure there's more than one big event in Florida. I don't know. I kind of went in and out. This was the National Cattlemen's Association.
Oh, that wouldn't be it. That would not be it. Although Candace is full of bull, so, you know.
Oh, well, there you go. She might have been there, and we just didn't know it.
Well, for the first time on the Drew Marshall Show, Dr. Leanne Warrior Princess Tui. Boy, is it kind of cool having the Papa Has Dough, the PhD? Did you not get awarded an honorary doctorate?
I did, and the only person I make call me that's my husband. When he really wants something, I go, excuse me, that would be Dr. Tui to you. I have loved that. That's been really fun. But, you know, gosh, this has been an amazing journey that the good Lord has had us on. And you know, we just feel like the next chapter with the Super Bowl was nothing but God-driven. I mean, it's just absolutely kept the story in the forefront of people's minds. And it is, you know, the movie hits on so many different levels. It transcends socioeconomic faith, traditions, culture, valuing people. And we just feel like that we have been chosen kind of to be good stewards of this message. And we're very humbled by it, to be honest with you. So whether it's Dr. Tui or Leanne or Mom or, you know, Hey You or whatever it is, we've been very humbled by this whole experience.
Good. Well, I'll stay with Warrior Princess, okay? Is that all right?
I like that. Do I need to put some war paint on my face or something?
Yeah, that's right. Now, hold on. But you didn't just say Leanne, because I know you're from the South and all. And us Canadians shake our heads at you guys and how you wrap your Bible up in your flag. But did you just say that God helped you win the Super Bowl? Did I just hear you say something like that?
No. The Super Bowl is just another chapter of this movie continuing.
Right.
And I'm sure that, you know, I laughed because I'm always very torn about, I just always pray for Michael's safety, you know, get up after every play. And after the game was over, it was like 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and we've just had as much fun as we've ever had doing anything.
That's good.
And Sean and I are back in our room, and I'm kind of, you know, flipping through all the news stuff just to soak in everything I can see or hear about it. And it showed during the last, like, two plays of the game, one of the San Francisco 49 players who was literally on his knees, head down on the bench, obviously praying. And I just stopped for a minute, and I thought, you know, there were prayers being sent up from both sides by everybody, you know.
Yep.
So you don't ever, you know, no, I would never think that, you
good.
Know, God let us win the Super Bowl. So.
Good. Yeah, because otherwise I'd have to ask for that doctorate to be removed, okay?
Yeah. Well. No.
Leanne, what's the difference between a homecoming queen and a homecoming maid?
Homecoming queen, like, wins the whole shimola. And the maid is like, you know, you're out there on the court, but you're not the big cheese.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Sorry to bring that up. That must be
That's
a sore
okay.
point.
You know what? I've kind of always been the second fiddle, and it's worked.
Oh, whatever. Second fiddle. Hold on. Put your husband on the phone, and we'll find out if you're the second fiddle or not, okay? Oh, my goodness. Are you still working with Extreme Makeover with the interior decorating stuff?
Now, where the heck have you been? That show was canceled.
Yeah, I never heard of that show before, actually. I don't know anything about it.
Extreme Makeover Home Edition. It's where we would go in and we would go and surprise a family, level their house, and build them a new house back like in 10 days. It was insanely crazy. It's one of the few reality TV shows that actually does what it says, not scripted.
Yeah.
Great show. It was on for 10 years, had a great run. Okay. I did it the last 2 years. And I actually have a new show that's getting ready to crank up. We start filming February 22nd, and I'm very excited because I've been through lots of offers, and this one, it revolves around foster care and adoption, which is very near and dear to my heart because, you know, we really believe that there's a lot of Michael Orrs in this world, and people value people so incorrectly because really society deemed Michael pretty much valueless. And, you know, all we did was offer this young man hope and love and, a little opportunity, and it changed his life. And, you know, we tell people all the time, if someone that is as immensely talented and as valuable as Michael Orr is almost falls through the cracks, can you imagine who gets left behind?
Yeah, yeah.
So hopefully this show will help Michael Orrs of the world not to get left behind.
Good, good. Well, listen, just with the Extreme Makeover thing, I was kind of, you don't know me, but I was kind of being, you know, sarcastic, facetious, very Canadian. But I know it's off the air, and I'm glad it's off the air because I sobbed like a little girl every time they moved the stupid bus.
I know. It was a great show. I mean, it really was. I mean, we've been off every show you see on TV in some shape, form, or fashion, they've tried to get us to do it, whether it's The Great Race or Secret Boss or, you know, Give the $1 million. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. And so they're all so scripted and just full of bull. And and I'm telling you, the people, what we would do with Extreme Makeover, they knew we were coming into the community because we had to do a little bit of recognizance. So there would be five families that knew that they were one of the five finalists. And they would tell, you know, we would say, pack your bags, get your pets boarded, your prescriptions filled, and if we knock on your door, be ready to go. But they did not know whether they were the one. And so it never got old knocking on a family's door, and it never got old moving that bus. And I'm talking about having to work your butt. I mean, it was a 24-hour, 7-day. I mean, no one slept. It was just crazy, but it was a very rewarding. And we always left the community better than when we arrived. So it was a great show.
Nice.
It really was.
It is really rewarding working on one. I have a friend of mine who's I'm working with as a producer in L.A. She's the lady, Emmy Award-winning producer, who started the television show Intervention, and she's been involved with a number of different projects down there. She was executive producer at OWN for a bit, and she just won't do anything but something that moves the soul. So, you know, she sounds like, I don't know, she'd be a good friend with you and Sandy, as you like to call her.
Sandy, my BFF. Yes,
yeah.
She was right with us during the Super Bowl, and that was fun. Louis donned his number 74 jersey, and it was a real fan. I mean, it was just an amazing experience. We're kind of pinching ourselves because, you know, to get there that quickly and it just to be such an exciting game. And thank God when the clock, you know, stopped ticking, we had more points than they did. And that was just, it was fun. It was really fun.
By the way, you and Sandy have some similar, let's just call them issues, okay?
Okay, what would those be?
Well, you take pictures of how you like your pillows positioned throughout the house, and she takes pictures of how she wants the table set at her restaurant. That's weird.
We do. It would do. And the first time we realized that, we were down in Oxford, and she was at our home down there, and I had left some pictures out. I had a lady that was going to start helping me clean. I just couldn't keep up with keeping up the house because the kids would come in, and I wouldn't know it, and I'd show up, and they'd have been there. So I had put pictures out for her, my housekeeper, to look at, see how I made the beds up. And she looked at them and started laughing and pulled some pictures out of her purse because she had just been to her restaurant, which is called Best in Austin, and she had made pictures of how she wanted the table set, and we just started laughing. That was kind of one of our first bonding moments.
Oh, that's, but, that's,
you know,
really...
Good lady. She's a great, amazing, wonderful human being and a big giver, and I just couldn't be more proud to say that she's a friend.
Can you concisely summarize the difference between the real-life Tui situation and the Hollywood improvised movie? Is there some main thing? Because I think there was an interview that Michael did where he, like, wanted people to know that, A, he wasn't some dumb, slow guy, and B, he was playing a bit of football before this.
He was. And, I mean, you know, I think most people that have any intelligence about them at all probably got that.
Yeah.
But John Lee Hancock, who was the writer and the director of The Blind Side, he really did spending an inordinate amount of time with us, probably about a year and a half. And he saw what went on. He saw how quickly that Michael closed this gap of going from such a, you know, learning it's so much vast amount of information in such a short amount of time. And he saw how people kind of reacted to us at restaurants. And so he, you know, he had to kind of put together some scenes in the movie so you would, you know, kind of to evoke an emotion in the audience so you would know what was going on in our life. One of them was a scene at the country club where I was eating with all the ladies.
Right.
And, you know, and it's so funny because still it's 2.5 years since the movie came out and almost close to three, and I still run into acquaintances and you know, ancillary kind of friend-type people, and they'll go, that wasn't me in that scene in the movie, was it? And I'm like, I don't know. Was it you, you dumb butt? I don't know. You know, if you have to ask me that, that's kind of sad. And the same with Michael's football. I mean, you know, he wanted you, he used the analogy of football to show how far that Michael came in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And you know, that was, and everyone got it. And, you know, there's people that, you know, there's stupid people in this world that say stupid things, and I wish there was a vaccination for stupid. There's not.
No.
But you just sit there and go, okay, I'm sorry. It would be apparent that this young man knew football a little bit better than this, but he was just trying to prove a point to you that, you know, he wasn't used to the geometry and this, and how quickly he picked it all up and closed the gap. So he used football to show it with.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No. Okay. Did you have any say in the screenplay or the actors chosen to play your family?
Nothing. We had, for people believe it or not, we had nothing to do with. We didn't make a dime off the movie.
What?
We had not a dime, zero, nicho, not. My husband negotiated that deal. That's why he makes 79-cent tacos for a living. But that's okay.
That's a great line. That is a great line. Love.
So
that.
Yeah, we nothing. We got a little. We got a minimal amount of money for letting Michael Lewis use our names in the book, The Blind Side, and you know, we were sure that it would never become anything more than this little simple book, and by everyone, even big people like CAA. I mean, in our contract, we, you know, if we had been the kind of people that reared our head and filed lawsuits, we'd have had a whole slew of them we could have filed. But you know what? It ended up being a beautiful message, and it continues to, you know, we just think people look at it and plug themselves in and go, you know, I can do that, or I want to do that, or that's me up there.
Okay,
because
so
we're innately good people in this world. I mean, we're givers, and that's, you know, thank goodness that sometimes we let the bad guy have the bigger voice, and that's my platform. You know, get up and be loud and proud about what's right.
Okay, well, I'm glad you didn't get bitter about not making a dime off the thing, although it does explain to the rest of us why you didn't shout out at the Academy Awards when Sandra asked for, you know, kind of left you that blank pause for you to scream. As a matter of fact, that was maybe the only time I think Sean was able to actually get a word in before you. Is that?
Well, you know, that was her moment, and she fussed and fussed at me about not doing it. I thought you were going to get up and run up there. I said, no. You people have no idea how hard she worked on my part. I mean, she went through my closet. She went through my makeup. She wore my same fingernail polish. She talked to my kids, to their friends. She shadowed me. She worked with a dialect coach. I mean, this wasn't like she accepted the part and just said, I'm going to play her and do it in my own style. It was, I mean, she did it in my style, in my fashion. And you know, I'm grateful to her for that. And so I absolutely, that was her moment, and she worked really hard to get that little gold statue, and I didn't want it to become suddenly about me and my big mouth.
No. So. Well done. You know, it's exciting for many because they still equate you with Sandra Bullock, and I mean, you know, they I'm sure in all the interviews people say, well, this is the closest I'll ever come to, you know, Sandra Bullock or whatever,
Hey, is that bad? I mean, it's not like they're equating me with Pee Wee Herman, so that's kind of a good thing. I mean, you know. It could be worse, dude. I mean, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so listen, Michael's tweets this week, before the Super Bowl, or within the last week, before the Super Bowl, Michael tweeted, wow, it just hit me that I'm going to be playing in the Super Bowl. Dreams do come true. And then after the Super Bowl, he said, wow, I'm really a world champion. Is this real life? You know, that's something that somebody says who's come from a totally different world and still thinks they're in Oz.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, first of all, to see your child live a dream out is amazing. I mean, I wish that. I mean, it doesn't have to be your kid winning. The next time your kid, you know, gets an A on their paper they've studied for. I mean, there's a lot of analogies you could use with that. But you know, to see him out there running around in that field after that game with confetti flying everywhere. I mean, I was a basket case. I was just sobbing. And he, you know, would pick me up and he'd swirl me around. Someone would go, oh, he's so sweaty. And I said, oh, it's the sweetest smelling, you know, perfume you could ever have on. Trust me.
Ew.
And it is. It is, and it was. And it's it was a beautiful moment. And I've never been so proud because that young man worked every single day for almost the last 12 years. I mean, he hardly took any time off. He was dedicated. He was determined. And you know, to know, I mean, Sean and I know what he's put into it. You know, he's done everything that's been asked of him by everybody. He's been pliable. He's been obedient. He has done the right thing. He's always taken the high road. And there have been so many opportunities that he could have gone south at any given moment, and he always chose to do the right thing. And
but Leanne, are you worried at all about Michael? You know, grown up broke, and now having money and fame being thrown at him. I mean, because
not see the movie?
I know, but hold on. Anyone thrown from one reality to another has to have the skills to cope with that kind of test.
He's got a mother with a big wooden spoon right behind him. That's all that matters.
Yeah, but hold on. So does Justin Bieber's mom, you know.
Not really, no.
Totally
different deal.
Really?
Totally different. Oh, yeah. Not, you're comparing apples to oranges.
Okay.
Justin Bieber never went through what Michael Orr went through. He wasn't in 23 foster homes. He didn't know where his next meal. He always knew where his next meal was coming from.
Right.
It might have been a little bit harder to find than someone else, but he knew there was food on the table. When you've been a kid that you don't know where your next meal is coming from, and then to, you know, Michael knows that we love him unconditionally. It's a whole different scenario with him. And I'm not Justin. If I was Justin Bieber's mom, you know, I'm different personalities. It makes the world go round.
Yeah.
Michael Orr knows that he is, he's led a very charmed life the last 12 years, and by God, he better act like it.
Okay, all right.
You know, that's what I tell my kids. If you want to wallow in the mud, I can treat you like that. And I don't care how many millions of dollars you have, that's just money.
Yep.
And a lot of people have had a lot more money than he has, and they've lost it all. So I'm one of these mothers that make them very aware of how fortunate and blessed they are to be in the situation that they're in. And you better sign an autograph to your hand falls off. You know, one particular person that's not on our team, but it was on another team on Sunday. I saw at a restaurant later. And he got very perturbed when someone asked for an autograph. And if we hadn't won the Super Bowl, I'd have given him the same spiel that I've given Scottie Pippen and a lot of O.J. Mayo and a lot of other well-known athletes. You know what? I hope they do sell your autograph. You make millions and millions and millions a dollar a year, and these people may sell your autograph for $20, and you're going to begrudge them of that. Get your ass over there and sign that autograph. Sign 50 of them and tell them to have a good day when you walk off. And that's what Michael Orr knows how to do. He leads a very charmed life, and he better act like it.
Dr. Leanne Warrior Princess Booyah Tui is what we've just heard there, ladies and gentlemen. My good. Now, this is an unfair question because, you know, I think I know where the answer is going, but I got to ask you this, right? Because y'all are from the South. And I need to know if y'all are Christians because you're from the South or y'all are Christians because you follow Christ.
Well, I mean, we're Christians because we follow Christ. I don't think there's neighborhoods in heaven. I don't think we're going to get to heaven and they're going to go, hey, all the Southerners over in the far left corner and all the North. Okay, if you think that, you need a stupid vaccination. It's not. We're all one in the body of Christ. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And if somebody's listening to this and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to stop, drop, and take 5 minutes and try to figure it out. Because in the end, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter how many Super Bowl championships you've won. It doesn't matter how many gold ribbons you have around your neck or stars beside your name. All that matters is what you've done for the Lord, and it's not about good works.
Right,
we do a lot of good things. My good works aren't going to get me into heaven.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, Leanne, I think it's got to be kind of weird for a Jesus person to get praised for being all selfless, you know, when you and your rich white family took in a poor black kid. I mean, that should be our default, should it not?
Yeah, you or confuse me with somebody that worries about that kind of stuff because I don't care what other people say. That doesn't bother me at all. I mean, it really does. I've had everything said about me that you can possibly imagine and worse.
Right, but what I'm asking is, you know, people are heaping praise on you, Leanne, for being all selfless in your family and the selfless family and isn't that, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you're Jesus people. You're supposed to be like that. So does it get awkward when people are praising you?
Well, I mean, it's not like they're dropping down and throwing flowers at my feet or anything. I mean, it's, you know, it's a... it's on the fringe. I mean, you know, people say, man, I wish I could do great things. You know, I wish I could do something wonderful. You know, yeah. We just charge them and go, you can. You don't have to go adopt a 6'6", 350-pound African-American. Why don't you just start out letting somebody get in front of you in line next time there's a long line?
Yeah,
that's life-changing. I let a man do that like 3 weeks ago. He came in like a toes in a hurry. We were in line at a competitive fast food restaurant, and I used it the other day, and my husband like took my head off because I didn't say Taco Bell, and I wasn't going to lie and say it was Taco Bell because it wasn't Chick-fil-A. So anyway, and I said, would you like to jump in front of me? And I said, I have plenty of time. And he was so taken back. He went, well, I mean, why would you let me do that? And I said, because I got plenty of time, and you seem like you're in a big hurry. And he got his food, and he turned around, and he goes, I really appreciate that. I really do. And I went, hey, man, it's fine. That can change somebody's life.
Yeah.
Open the door for somebody. Say please and thank you all day long to people at your office. I mean, there are little things that you can do. Find the person that is bullied in your office that's made the most fun of. Sit by them at lunch. Turn to the next person and go, hey, if you can't say something nice about this person, shut up. I mean, you know, it's little things like that make a difference. And we want to make it this grandioso act it doesn't have to be that way.
Okay, well, let's wrap this up by highlighting the whole adoption, foster care kind of deal, right? I had a friend of mine, well, I have a friend of mine who was the Judd's manager for years and kind of got tired of waiting for Mr. Wright to come along. And so she adopted Mr. Wright, a little boy from an orphanage over in Russia. And you know, the reality is, it ain't all peaches and cream. You know, you get this idea that, you know, in your case, in the movie, for example, you know, and I know Michael's different and everything, but people get the idea that if you go ahead and do this adoption foster care deal, oh, he's going to be gentle, they're going to be nice, there's not going to be any issues, blah, blah, blah. Come on, there's baggage that comes with this stuff. I'm not trying to scare people away from, adoption foster care stuff, but there's a lot of people that go, I wonder if they go into this kind of blind.
Well, this is what I tell people that I've heard this statement a lot. It's not all peaches and cream with your biological kids.
Yeah, that's
and if
true.
You think it is, you're fooling yourself. I got two that I birthed. I was not looking to go out and adopt a third, believe me, trust me. It was just, you know, thrust upon us. I mean, we had issues with our first two, so we weren't looking for a third kid. But it's very rewarding. Nothing in life is easy. I mean, everything you do is five steps up, seven steps back. I mean, there are kids all over this country that are biological that give their parents crap. I mean, you know, I hate to bring up bad things, but most of these kids that have gone out and done these horrific, violent acts lately have all been biologically birthed children. So, I mean, don't tell me that your biological kids don't do crazy, stupid things, because they do.
Yeah.
So then why do you think that your foster kid's going to, or your adoptive kid's going to be perfect? Well, if you're going into it like that, then you're, again, one of those that needs a stupid vaccination, because that's not reality. No matter what kind of child you have, whether it's biological, adopted, or from foster care, kids are kids, and there's going to be issues with them. It's called parenting.
Yeah, good
so
job.
That's when you have to be a parent, you know.
You know, you scare me a little bit.
Well, you know, you must be a weenie. That's all I can say.
Yeah, okay. A buddy of mine just tweeted Rick Warren. He just tweeted a thing that said 136 million orphans in the world, but over 2 billion Christians. Adoption is the answer.
I tell people all the time, let's take the United States, for example. We have 400,000 plus kids in foster care. We have more faith-based churches. There's 497 churches. If every church in the United States of America was responsible for one child in foster care, we would wipe out the need for foster care in this country, in the United States. I'm sure Canada could almost boast the exact same statistics. You know, we may not can solve a lot of problems, but that seems like one that we could solve. So, you know, that's why I'm doing, you know, I don't want to go out and do some show. I don't have this need to be well known. I do have a need for every single kid to have a loving family, because we believe, and I say it again and again, there are no unwanted kids. There's just unfound families.
Leanne Tuohy, you have an ebook and a little foundation that you created. You got 30 seconds to plug whatever you'd like. What do you got? Keychains, coffee mugs?
And whatever you want. It's a whole ball of wax. You can go to leannetuohy.com. Every bit of it's there. It's the Making It Happen Foundation. We're not all things to all people, but we do try to make a difference. And the same thing with my little ebook. It's called Making It Happen. I kept it all very simple. It just kind of tells ways that you can give back that do not have to be grandioso acts, but they can be something small and change someone's life.
Hey, how's the diet coming?
You know what? It's going pretty good. I just had him on the beach for a big walk, and he came back in huffing and puffing, and that's why I was a little bit later up to the phone, because I was trying to push him on up the door. I thought I was going to have to resuscitate him, but everything's good.
Oh, hold on. We're talking about your husband, Sean, right? Not your dog.
No, we're talking about my husband, Sean. Okay, exactly. Right. The man I sleep with.
Whoa, easy now, easy. This is our Valentine's Day special, but we don't want to, you know, Christians don't have sex. Okay, listen.
Oh, and if they don't, then tune in next month. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Next week on our show, Quentin Aaron will be on our show next week. So we're kind of continuing the Blind Side theme. Really, really looking forward to chatting with Quentin for sure. Listen, Leanne, you're actually now one of my favorite guests. I don't want to suck up like that too much, but I love the fire.
Well, thank you so much and have a wonderful day. Come see us down here sometimes in the South.
All right, y'all. You take care.
All right, babe. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Man, Leanne Toohey, what a fireball.
You look marvelous.
Hey, folks, I want to tell you about the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. You ready for this? For $12.50, that's right, only $12.50, we'll mention your organization's name, website, and a brief description. Did you catch that? During each show, we'll read out your organization's name, website, and a brief description for only $12.50. Now, obviously, there's no point in doing that only once during a four-hour show, so we'll read your advertisement four times per show for an entire month, and each time we do it, it'll only cost you $12.50. It's kind of like putting an advertisement up on every church bulletin in the GTA, except you don't have to get permission from that grumpy old lady at the front desk. Now look, because there are limited spots available for our 1250 special, why don't you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250. Now sure, we're right in the middle of things here in the show, but if you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250, we'll take your name and number and call you back on Monday to sign up for the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. This is nuts. Are you sure we want to do this? How am I supposed to make any money?